This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is BFM 89.9. In about 15 minutes, I'll be talking to Sim Choo King, the chief executive of Sim Leisure Group, who is involved in the theme park business. But in the meantime, politics. Now, DAP, along with Amana, has found itself caught in the middle of the Tun Mahathir Anwar Ibrahim tug of war for power. They're both accused by some of betraying the principles of Pakatan Harapan in agreeing to nominate Tun Dr. Mahathir as the PH Plus PM candidate.
At the same time, they are seen by others as a liability in courting the Malay vote, where suspicions of DAP's intentions still hold sway. So can DAP come out of this political situation intact, and what role do they play in this tattered opposition?
So for some thoughts on this, we have on the line with us Professor Mohammad Tajuddin Rasti, Professor of Architecture at UCSI University and a socio-political commentator. Prof, thank you for talking to us. What do you make of DAP's position to support Tun M's bid as the 9th PM? Are they selling out PKR, or is there a grand strategy at play?
Well, I don't think they are selling out PKR. If they wanted to sell out, they would have sold out like past 4 or 5 years ago with a couple of Mercedes, you know, something like that. But the point here is that DAP is using Tun M as a weapon. I mean, he was a weapon in the past election, but the problem is that you don't know how to fix the weapon or maintain the weapon or take care of the weapon or control it. And that became a huge problem. I had reminded them before this. So I think the grand strategy is simply that Mahathir was the one who actually dismantled a lot of the public institutions. And so he knows every single nook and cranny of the whole situation. So not to use him is really not a good idea. I mean, Anwar didn't have that much of an influence then when the whole institution was being dismantled.
So how should DAP navigate this current impasse between Tun M and Dato' Sri Anwar?
I think the question here should be, first of all, to me, look, if you want to win a war, then you look at to have to understand there is a grand war strategy, but there is also the battle strategy. Once your feet hits the ground, there's a lot of different things that could happen. And this is something that you need to take into account. You have to use whatever weapon that you have in order to achieve a certain objective that has already been defined by the war. Now, the ball is actually, to me, is in Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim's court. He, in his reformasi pledges in the past 20 years that I have been following, I mean, if you look at the reformasi or the deklarasi Permatang Pauk, that he, you know, there was no mentioning that him becoming a prime minister. That's number one. Number two, if you're talking about sacrifice or pengorbanan, of course, we all understand his sacrifice of going to prison. And many of us, like myself, have learned a great deal from that. And to me, Anwar is an iconic historical figure in Malaysian politics. But pengorbanan means, actually, you don't actually get whatever reward there is there for you. That's pengorbanan as parents, as people who work for, you know, for the poor or for the needy and all that, you cannot consider it pengorbanan if you expect some sort of reward. That would be investment, not a sacrifice. So he needs to reflect back on his own idea and ideals of what reformacy entails, which is for the people of Malaysia.
Prof, but as a whole, DAP still commands suspicion and mistrust from the Malay community at large. What do you think explains this, and what would it take for this perception to change?
Well, the two things here. Number one, the more difficult one, which is the Malays. The Malays have been fed with this narrative that the DAP, not only the DAP, the Christian, the Chinese, everybody else, lah, there are 39 ethnic groups, probably all the other 38 ethnic groups are the kafir or the enemy or the muso-muso Islam. And so the only way out I have written is that the people like Abim and Ikram and Amana has to remind themselves and the people on the Malay community of the ideals of what is the Islamic Reformation was about. It was about social justice. It was about integrity of institution. It was all of this has been clearly spelled out in the 90s. What the heck happened? You know, I mean, they are all silent when the PH came into power. they were given all these positions in the government, and they did not handle the Malay fake news and everything that was happening on the in the mosque, in the public universities, for instance. Here, Anwar is one of those Islamic reformists, and he keeps talking at conferences and private universities. What you need to hit is the Malay middle class as well as the public universities. But now it's too late. Nah? They'll probably close the door. That's number one. Number two is the DAP. The DAP does not seem to know how to speak within a Malay construct. For instance, the Hanayo punya case. Yeah? The Hanayo case, why do you talk like that to a Muslim woman, you know? It doesn't mean that there's no freedom of speech or anything like that, but when you say things like that, you're a Chinese and you're a Christian, and then you're saying something like this woman may not have any good issue on underage marriage, Wan Adiza wears the tudung, and she has a progressive view. But when you speak like that, susah lah. Same thing like Lim Kit Siang talking down to Datuk Seri Najib. Malays believe in these authority figures like ustaz and tok gurus. And once somebody else, not of the same religion and quote-unquote not of the same stature, then they will not listen to whatever news there is. DAP needs to know that if you have your Malay personality, then you need to use that, or better yet, use the amanah punya leader to actually talk to the Malays. I've already advised them many times on this issue in the past, but they don't seem to learn very well on that regard.
And, on this point, right, it does seem that DAP, well, maybe trying to learn some of those lessons, are trying to push for a more multicultural and age-diverse representation through younger leaders. Now, the question is, can DAP gain appeal among the younger Malay generation? Do they need to rebrand? Because they have some new leaders like Marina Ibrahim, for example.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, when I was with the DAP 10 years ago, there was this thing they called the Democracy School. They were training new Malay leaders, and I thought that would... it was a good program. I mean, my daughter was part of it also. But then I don't know what happened after that when I left the DAP. The issue here is that I had advised the DAP a long time ago, "Hey, guys," I said, "you guys are very good." And I said, but you need to have some sort of a branch in your party that deals with Islamic issues. Both the Malays and the non-Malays in the AP disagreed, and they said that, look, Tajuddin, social economy is the best. Once we put money in all the people's hands, then things will be resolved. Economy is the answer. I said, you don't understand the Islamic perspective of people now after the Islamic Reformation and all that. You're going to get in trouble if you cannot phrase your socio-economic principles within some kind of an Islamic terminology or Islamic approach. And so they never developed this Islamic branch to actually deal and navigate through the issue. Now you can see what has happened. The so-called Islam issue has been used as a weapon, and a very effective weapon. Now we have the RUU 355 coming back as a weapon, and that is going to be devastating to Malaysia. So how to deal with this? They have not dealt with it because, you know, they're still stuck in their old 1960s socio-economic principles. I'm not saying that Islam is the best or anything like that. It's just on the ground, that's it, you know. You have to deal with it. If you don't deal with it, well, then it's going to bite you in your rear end.
Prof, as always, thank you for your nuances and your insights and honesty. Thank you ever so much for your time. That was Professor Dr. Mohammad Tajuddin Rasli, a socio-political commentator, as well as being a professor of architecture at UCSI University. I love his articles. He writes very well nuanced, and with a lot of honesty, which is much needed. I think his points on DAP is very right. Yeah, we don't treat each other with enough respect and cultural sensitivities.
So
it's both ways, you know.
Yeah.
It takes two hands to clap. in this case, with a negative outcome sometimes.
Yeah, and at the point about DAP just focusing very much on social economic, that's not the only thing, right, that's important to Malaysians.
Absolutely. We asked Malaysians actually the same question. We asked them, does DAP needs to rebrand itself to appeal to a broader vote base? And 159,000 people have voted. 60% say yes, and only 21% say no. Don't care. And 17% say no. What I meant to say is 159 votes. But keep them coming. We've got an hour left. Tell us what you think, and hopefully DAP will listen to this. 7:58 in the morning. We'll come back after this with the 8 o'clock news. And then after that, Sim Leisure Group with me, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.